Go ahead, I'm returning your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. How are we doing? Are there only Bronco fans in the house? That was a great game on Sunday. Again, depending on who you were rooting for. I don't know if you realize it, Sunday's game was the highest viewed Super Bowl ever. 111 million people watched it in America alone. And it was total domination. I tried to warn you guys. I told you Sunday morning that defense wins championships. And you thought I was kidding. And I'm glad my Legion of Boom went out there and they made it happen. Okay. Is this connected, Larry? Huh? It's not advancing. I'm sorry? No, hit play. You gotta hit play. Yeah. And it should do it. Here we go. That's my Legion of Boom. Man, we had a lot of boom on Sunday. You see, the funny thing is, I gotta be honest with you. I knew this was what was gonna happen. Because most people I spoke to, they had never watched the Seahawks throughout the entire year. And they only heard that they were the best defense in the entire league. Oh, Peyton Manning is going to pick him apart, the number one offense. Let me tell you something. They got guys on this defense that match up with every single wide receiver they have. And every time they came through the middle, they hit them. And they hit them hard. And so, you can tell I'm a very happy guy. But you see, a lot of these guys, they have a chip on their shoulder. Because they were drafted in the third round, in the fourth round, fifth round, seventh round of the draft. They're like, we're going to show you that you don't have to be a first draft, you know, draft choice for you to be able to play in the NFL. And so they were playing with an attitude. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you remember, last year, we played them at the Georgia Dome, and they almost beat us. We were leading 21 to nothing, if I'm not mistaken, at halftime, and they came back. And I believe if they had won last year, they would have won the Super Bowl. They would have beaten San Francisco, and they would have beaten the Ravens. And so these guys were on a mission. You say, Richard, why are we talking about this? Kind of leads me to my lesson tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about God's game plan. Okay? God's game plan. In Jeremiah chapter 1, I have 3 points I want to make tonight very quickly. Number one, we've been drafted. We've been drafted. In Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Here we read about the call of Jeremiah, the prophet. And God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I love this passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Because I believe that this is how every Christian needs to see themselves. That God appointed us. Even before we were formed in our mother's womb, God knew you. God knew me. And he has appointed us as a prophet in this lifetime, in this generation. Are you with me? God did not make a mistake when he formed Jeremiah. God did not make a mistake when he created you also. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, we just saw up here that the middle schoolers, they call themselves M-Swag. As a Christian, as somebody that God knew, even before the creation of this world, that's what we're told in Ephesians chapter 1. There ought to be a bounce in your step. You ought to have some swag. Not based on who you are, but in terms of whose child you are. And whose child I am. Because God created us for a reason, for a purpose. You and I were created to glorify the Almighty. We did not create ourselves. And I don't know about you. I am so glad to be on God's team. You say, what's the name of our team? I don't know. I know there's Alpha and Omega in there somewhere. And on this team, yes, we're going to have some fumbles. Yes, we're going to have some setbacks. God will call an audible on us sometimes. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But we're on the winning team. We know how this thing ends. Death is not going to be the victory. You and I are going to have victory over death. And we need to have that confidence because we've been drafted into God's kingdom. I mean, think about it. A lot of these guys that play in the NFL right now, they didn't just grow up one day and started playing professional football. As a matter of fact, only a very small percentage of guys who play football in college end up in the NFL. These guys are the best of the best. Are you with me? But they didn't just start playing last week. They started very young in Little League. You know, you see them on TV sometimes, you know, the helmet actually looks bigger than them. And you see them run around like little midgets. And then, you know, from there, they went on to play in high school, played on Friday nights, and then a lot of them went on to play in college. And then from college, a few of them were drafted into the NFL. But you see, just like these guys, God did the same with us. God knew exactly who we were, even before he formed us in our mother's wombs. And he watched us growing up, doing different things, believing different things, going through different things. And at the right time and place, he drafted you onto his team. Somebody reached out to you. Maybe it was your son or your daughter or a friend or your neighbor. But somebody opened their mouth and they started talking to you about God. They sat you down and showed you the scriptures. I'm sharing all this because that was an accident. I've shared my story with us so many times. I was up in school in Connecticut for 5 years, and I got tired of the cold weather. I wanted to get out. I wanted to go to law school. So all the law schools I applied to were all in the South. Florida, Miami, San Diego, Houston. I just wanted to get out. But Florida gave me a scholarship. I did not even know where the place was on the map when I applied. Back then, there was no such thing as online applications. You did everything by hand, and then you mailed it in. But see, God took me to Gainesville, Florida, not to go to law school. That was where I became a disciple of Jesus. Now, praise God, yeah, I got the law degree and everything. But you see, that was not the reason why God took me down there. And I want you to think of your own conversion. I want you to think about what Everything God has done and put in place to bring you to this point. Especially if you're studying the Bible right now. It's not by accident. And I remember for me, 27 years ago, looking at the scriptures and going, wow! According to the Bible, I'm not a Christian. I was at church every Sunday. I believed in God. I thought I was a good person compared to some of my friends. I loved God genuinely. But I was still wrong. And I had to humble myself and say, you know what? I'm going to do what the Bible teaches me. And that's what I did. I made Jesus Lord, repented of my sins, and I got baptized June 1st of 1986 at the evening service. And I haven't looked back ever since. I don't know what your conversion story is, but God drafted you. God brought you into his kingdom for a reason. And God didn't bring you in here so that, you know, you just come to midweek service or you raise kids or you come to church on Sunday. God's got a bigger purpose for you. He's got a bigger purpose for me. I remember as a young Christian, people would meet me and go, have you ever thought of going to the ministry? And I tell them, no. I've seen the preacher's job and I don't want it. I am going to make a lot of money. I got an MBA. I got a law degree. I'm going to make a lot of money. All these guys that want to go on mission teams, I will give them the money. But I'm not going anywhere. God was in there going, We'll see. Obviously, at the time, I didn't understand it. But God made it abundantly clear. And like I've shared before, you know, I was looking for work. I couldn't find work. I was going on interviews. They were telling me I was overqualified. And the elders in the Boston church asked me to give the ministry a try. And I said, okay, fine. And I'll never forget it. That night, I drove back to the brother's flat, and I cried the whole way as I was driving. I said, God, I have no idea what this means. But if this is what you want, if this is why you placed me on this earth, then, Father, I surrender. The next morning, they called me up. They asked me to go into full-time ministry. Would you believe that the next day, one of those jobs called me up and said, hey, we'd like for you to come work for us. I said, thank you. I got the job I've always been looking for. It's been over 25 years now. And I'm sharing my own story because I don't know what your story is. Because I think too many times we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. These guys were not drafted to be on the team just to come watch. To see other people make plays. You have a role to play. I have a role to play. Every single one of us. And God did not make a mistake by asking you to be here. Look in Psalm 139. Gary referred to this a few weeks ago in his class, but I want us to read it again together. In Psalm 139, Psalm 139. You guys are quiet on me. In Psalm 139, in verse 13. David writes, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Is that the way you see yourself? That you know what? I am beautifully and wonderfully made. You know, I don't get it. When people do plastic surgery. The other day, I walked into a store. And there's this guy was just coming up from the counter, and he had all this plastic surgery. You could see it in his face. His face was like this. And I'm like, why would people do that to themselves? Because they don't like who they are. The Bible says that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the most good-looking guy in here. You say, Richard, no, it's not you. Well, you're entitled to your own opinion. You say, Richard, you got a chip on your shoulder. You bet I have a chip on my shoulder. Because my Bible tells me that I am beautifully and wonderfully made. God did not make a mistake on you. God did not make a mistake on me. Is that the way you view yourself? It says, my frame was not hidden from you, verse 15, when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's exciting. You see, everybody that's in here, God knows exactly how long you're going to be on this earth. God knows what day he's going to call you home. I don't, but he does. Are you with me? This is not home. And we got to make sure that we get our lives right if we're not Christians, according to the scriptures. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated. We just need to humble ourselves and do what the Bible teaches. Amen? Like I said, there ought to be a balance in our step. See, the problem is, like Jeremiah initially, we look down on ourselves. We think we're not adequate. We think we are not up to the task. What did Jeremiah say? Ah, Lord, I'm only a kid. Why don't you ask a grown-up to go do this? God said, no. I'm using you. There are other men and women in the scriptures that God called and they were making excuses, just like Jeremiah initially. The most famous one is Moses. We know the story in Exodus chapter 3. When God said, I'm sending you to free my people from Egypt, what did Moses start doing? He starts making excuses. He's telling God, hey, by the way, what's your name? He was stalling. You see, again, a lot of times I think we read that passage and we think, okay, that happened in, you know, a period of 15 minutes. Remember, he was a shepherd when he saw the burning bush. And when he went close, he heard a voice saying, remove your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And God starts to talk to him. We don't know how long that conversation was. It could have been 6 hours. But I think so many times we read the Bible and we think, oh yeah, it probably took place in 10 minutes. I don't think so. He says, what if they ask me, what's your name? Then it goes on later and says, you know, what if they don't believe me? He goes on and says, you know what? I've never been eloquent. That was a pure lie right there. This guy grew up in a palace in Egypt. Moses could speak. And then finally, you know the story. He finally goes, send somebody else. And like we're told in the story, God gets angry at that point. Why? Because that was the reason he was drafted. To set the Israelites free. After being in bondage for over 400 years. And now he's going, God has been waiting all this time. Now it's time you send somebody else. Are you kidding me? There wasn't anybody else. And I say that because some of us, we act exactly the same way. As Christians in God's kingdom, when we sit around and do nothing, that's exactly what we're doing. It's like, you know what? He'll take care of it. She'll do it. And you forget why God put you here. That we all have a role to play in here. Amen? And so I'm asking you, what excuses are you making? Remember, you've been drafted. Oh, I'm too busy. We're all busy people. Well, I don't have time. Well, guess what? All of us have 24 hours in our day. I'm not talented enough. That's a lie of the devil. You got the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living inside of you. And if God is on your side, the Bible says, who can be against you? We are more than conquerors through him who called us. Oh, people are not open. Again, that's another lie. That's another lie. People are open. People are searching. You know, some of our sisters may feel, well, you know, my husband is not really leading spiritually. You know, it's his fault. Really? You're kidding me, right? I know you wouldn't say it out loud, but you're thinking it. Well, I've been around a long time. But they're all excuses. That's all they are. They're all excuses. And what you and I need to do as Christians is simply repent. Amen? You and I have been drafted onto this field, onto this team for a reason. And God says, go. Go make disciples now. Go means you move. You can't go by standing in one place. Are you with me? Where we're told to go teach the gospel. That God came into this world in the form of a human. And then he died for our sins. And then he rose on the third day. That's the gospel. It's not complicated. And because of that, one day you and I get a chance to be with God forever. That's it. And that's what we're trying to teach people. That's what we're trying to tell people. But like I said, sometimes God will call an audible on you. You know how Peyton Manning does it? You know, when he, you know, he's already decided what he's going to do. And then he waits to see how the defense is going to set up. And then he changes the play at the line of scrimmage. Omaha, Omaha, check, check. And he's pointing. Obviously, Sunday couldn't hear a word because that place was so loud. The 12th man traveled to New York. Okay? They didn't anticipate that. Seattle fans are so loud, they call them the 12th man. When they're playing their home games, they're so loud, the earth is shaking. They actually create an earthquake. They're that loud. And I'm told, you know, as the prices were dropping last week, the fans from Seattle were buying them up. And so they showed up in bunch in New York. Peyton Manning couldn't hear himself. He couldn't call an audible on the line. It was so loud. But you see, God, even as we are on the team, will call audibles on us sometimes in terms of trials. All of a sudden, someone happens, like, where did that come from? But the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 to consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's the only way you and I are going to learn toughness. It's through these challenges that we go through. That is the only way our faith in God grows. You say, it's so easy to say, I believe in God. Man, I trust God totally. Really? Let's wait and see how you handle challenges. That's when my faith is really displayed. And God watches to see how we're going to react. And if we trust him, he'll bring us through that one and give us a bigger challenge later. Are you with me? That's the way it works. You know, on Sunday, I found this lime t-shirt that I had. I didn't even remember that I had it. My wife was wearing hers. I said, wait a second, I have the same thing. So I went and got mine, and I got a navy blue, you know, warm up on top. So, you know, it looked like that, those are the Seahawks colors. And so I got to a Super Bowl party, and my crowd, our newest elder, walks in bright orange. I said, Mike, I said, what's up with that? He says, well, I knew you're supporting the Seahawks, so I came to oppose you. I said, okay. I said, no problem. I sat down. He sat down next to me, and I was having back problems on Sunday, as a matter of fact. And so I had some, what do you call those things? Icy patch. I had on my back, and he said it to my left. I said, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. Even before the game started, I said, now, mark this down. I said, we're going to pick off Peyton Manning at least twice. I said, Percy Harvin is going to score at least twice. One of them will be a kickoff return. I said, you watch. He goes, nah, 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 nah. I said, okay. I said, no problem. The game starts. And if you saw the game, you saw what happened. As a matter of fact, the very first time Percy Harvin caught the ball, he ran this, what they call a jet sweep. Some guy pulled him from behind. He would have gone all the way. And I kept on telling Mike, I said, Mike, this guy has been injured all season. He used to play for the Vikings. He said, why do you like Percy Harvin? He went to Florida. Okay, that's why. He's the only player with two national championships and a Super Bowl ring in the history of the NFL. That guy can run. He runs track too. And so I said to Mike, I said, they have no film on this guy all season. I said, that's why he's going to take him apart. I said, you watch. I said, I think he's going to be the MVP. I also told him that. Okay? And so, you know the story. I think it's like, I don't know, 22-0 at halftime. And the second half is about to begin. At some point, Mike actually got up and he says, I'm going to go sit on the other side of the room. And he got up and went and sat with the sisters. And so as the second half is about to begin, I look over, I said, Mike, I said, I'm telling you now before it happens. If Percy is on the other side receiving the ball, and the ball goes to him, I said, he's taking it to the house. He said, nah. I said, okay. But I sat back now. Please, Larry, roll the tape. Roll the tape. Just give him a second. And don't forget the sound, eh? Full screen. Full screen. Hang on, full screen. Yeah, it should be down there somewhere. Just click it. No, it's right down there. Yeah. No, where you are. On top, right. Click it. It should come up. Like, there it is. Now, full screen. Okay, now. Then press play on the left-hand side, and then give me the sound. This is the kickoff now. Okay, press play now.
Harvin is back. He had one kick return for 58 yards in his one regular season game against his former team, the Vikings, and they just pop it up. Good kick by Prater on a hop. It's Harvin, but now he takes off, and Percy Harvin gets free. Percy Harvin inside the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Seattle. Because they don't want Percy Harvin to return this ball, and it's just terrible play by the special teams of the Denver Broncos in coverage. They had a number of guys with an opportunity to make a play on Percy Harvin before he got going, and once he did, there's nobody on this field. 21 other guys, nobody can run like Percy Harvin. Hip surgery in August. He missed the championship game with a concussion.
He runs a 10.6 200 meters. That's fast. And so I forgot that my back was hurting. I jumped up so high. And I looked over at Mike Ra and said, you don't argue with a prophet. He's not here tonight. He's in the class. But you see, that's the reason they brought him from Minnesota. To do exactly that. And you and I were brought into God's kingdom. You and I were brought onto God's team for a reason. The question is, when your number is called, are you ready to play? As a matter of fact, that play that they ran, they hadn't run the entire season. Again, the Broncos had no tape on it. But Pete Carroll, their coach, had told him, you know, just be ready. And at the beginning of the second half, he says, you know, you're in. They knew exactly what was going to be happening. Obviously, the Broncos didn't. And, you know, the fastest man on the field gets the ball like that. It's hard to catch him. But you see, the point is, you know, all season long, he's been battling injury. But when the time came, he delivered. Are you with me? And we got to make sure that as Christians on God's team, that we're ready when God calls your number. When God says, I got something for you to do, we ought to be ready. Amen? We've been drafted. My second point, avoid penalties. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Avoid penalties. You see, just like in football, there are rules. And you got to play by the rules. If you don't play by the rules, the referees are going to blow their whistle. Sometimes they have what they call a false start. Sometimes there's holding. But you see, the same thing is true in the Christian life. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Colossians 3. Paul writes, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Excuse me. Paul writes here that we need to crucify whatever belongs to our earthly nature. Notice, the responsibility is on us. It doesn't say that the preacher or the elders or your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ help you do it. It says you do it. God calls me to put to death whatever belongs to my earthly nature. I can't wait for my disciples to do that. Now, praise God, it's awesome when brothers will sit me down and say, you know, Rich, you need to repent of this. This ain't right. Are you with me? That's fine. They're trying to help me. They're trying to help you when those kind of talks are going on. But it's your responsibility. If you don't make it to heaven, it's your fault. You're not going to be able to blame anybody in this church. You're not going to be able to blame your parents. You're going to be able to blame your spouse. You're not going to be able to blame your ministry leader or your preacher. Are you with me? It says we need to put these things to death. You know, or like in a football game where refs miss calls. This referee that we're talking about, God, he doesn't miss any calls. Every time you fumble, every time you whatever, he's going to call you on it. You are going to be penalized. I will be penalized. He doesn't miss anything. Does that make sense? Now, but he's such a loving God that even when we blow it, he forgives us. He's very gracious. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so has he wiped our transgressions from us. And we will blow it. We will make mistakes. We will sin. But the mistake we cannot make is pretend as if, you know, I'm doing well. Because you're playing with your salvation. You're playing with fire. There's no guarantee you're going to see Sunday. Somebody may kill you in a car accident tomorrow. Then what? Yeah, we'll attend your funeral. I'll probably do it. And talk about what such a wonderful person you are and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know all the stuff that was going on in your heart and in your life when you were not with the Christians. And we're all going to be saying, oh yeah, man, he's gone unto heaven or she's gone unto heaven. I was like, if you only knew. And I pray that's not your lot in life. We can't play games with this. We got to avoid the penalties. Because God is watching. He sees all of our sin. And the Bible commands you and I, Bible calls you and I to hate sin. It calls for us to be open, to confess, to repent quickly, and to keep going, amen? Because sin will mess you up every single time. We're going to avoid the penalties. Some of the stuff we go through, let me just be honest with us. Some of the challenges we have in life, some of the trials we have in life as a result of our sin. Sin has consequences. You will pay. You are going to pay the piper. I will pay the piper. But see, we got the Bible says we need to hate sin. We need to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. He says, put to death, kill that thing. Get the help you need. Stop pretending like you got it all together. You're fooling only yourself, not God. Amen. And finally, listen to the coach. Luke chapter 6. Listen to the coach. We're very familiar with this passage, but we'll read it again. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what it's like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Obviously, this is God talking. This is Jesus talking. And he says, you know what? Talk is cheap. Lord! Lord! Anybody can say Lord. I'm a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. That's cheap. The question is, are we obeying God? Are we living according to his word? Are we listening to the coach? Or are we on the playing field doing our own thing and running our own play? Playing as if you're the only guy on the field. You don't realize that if you don't listen to the coach and run the play, he's asked you to play, you're going to affect the lives of other people around you. And we just like, I say, you know what? Hey, I know what I'm doing. I got myself on this team. He can't tell me what to do. What does he know? I'm a stud. I'm making millions of dollars. You're about to get cut. You're about to get cut. And you don't know Jack. We got to listen to the coach. The coach that created us. The coach that drafted us. The coach that put us on the team for a reason. But the question is, are we still listening? You see, I believe it's an issue of trust. Do you trust the coach? Because if you trust the coach, you will do exactly what he says. You will run the play he's asked you to run. You know, they did a survey, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about all the coaches in the NFL, and they were asking the players, they didn't put their names on it, and they were asking the players, of all the coaches in the NFL, who would you love to play for? Guess who won that vote? Pete Carroll. You gotta love Pete Carroll. Man is 62 years old. Act as if he's 30. He's out on the field, you know, with the guys and just. And he goes, coach, you know, be careful now. Like, come on, tackle me. He's built family. He loves those kids, those players like they're his own sons. That's the way he loves them. That's the way he treats them. Not just their lives on the field. He's very concerned about how they're doing off the field. That's why people want to play for him. You see, we're talking about a coach. For us, God, that knows everything. That has all the power. That has never made a mistake before. And so he knows what he's talking about. You can't afford to dismiss what he's telling you. Are you with me? The coach is rooting for you. He wants you to win. He wants me to win. The Bible tells me that his commands are not burdensome. They become burdensome when I'm not following them. It is so awesome to be able to follow the scriptures. I mean, this is the playbook. You know, you see those guys, you know, they get in a huddle and they're rolling their plays. And you see their coaches on the sidelines calling in the plays, you know, covering their mouths like this, so that the opposing team don't know what they're about to call. Because you better believe that the opposing team has somebody watching. And so it's like, you know, they want to know what the opponent is doing, and that's why they cover their mouths. But you see that thing they have on their hand, that's all the plays for that game. But again, we're talking about a God that knows everything. And this is the playbook. It's a big playbook. It really is. You know, at different stages in the game, at different stages in life, you know, different passages mean different things to us. And that's why we can go to it and find answers. And God is saying, yeah, go for it. And people in the world are going, how did that happen? How come you're so joyful? How come you're always at peace? What's the secret? Because they're not listening to the coach. A lot of people in the world want to win the game, but they don't want to listen to the coach. They want to have a great life and a happy life and a prosperous life, but they don't want anything to do with God. It's like they got it backwards. Without God, you can't make it. But see, we got to listen to the coach. It's about trusting the Lordship of Jesus. It's about doing what Jesus says. When we deviate from God's plan, when we deviate from the playbook, you're going to get in trouble. You will suffer. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I promise you, you will suffer. You can mark it down. You can take that one to the bank. Amen? But we got to listen to the coach. The plan is perfect. The plan works. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, right now, he created over 7 billion people that are physically alive on this earth right now. We don't even know how many he created before then. That's a lot of people. You think he doesn't know what he's doing? Oh, yes, he does, and then some. But are we listening to the coach? You know, it was so terrible. I think it was, I can't remember. Was it Saturday or Sunday morning? Hearing about Philip Seymour Hoffman, drug overdose. Brilliant actor. That man could act. I remember the first movie I saw that he was in Twister, many, many years ago. And then I really liked him in Mission Impossible. I forget his name. He was the bad guy that Tom Cruise went and... you know, took out in the bathroom and they put him in the sewer and they got him out and then he got out. I didn't see the other stuff that he's done. But the guy was a great actor. He had money. He had fame. And he was miserable. And he ended up killing himself. What a waste. And I say that to us tonight because that is happening in this town, in this county, so many times every day in this country and all over this world. Now he gets in the paper because he's an Oscar-winning actor, and so a lot of people know who he is. But there's so many people that have passed on today from using heroin. I mean, the numbers are terrible. Why do people use drugs? Because they're looking for answers. And we need to be reaching out to everybody. Because people are hurting. That, you know what? You don't have to shoot up. That God is enough. God can help you overcome this. We got brothers sitting right here who used to use drugs. And now they've been clean since for decades. Only by the power of God. And so I'm sharing all this stuff to say, brothers and sisters, we have a story to tell. When I see stuff like that on the news, my heart just aches. It really does. We got so much work to do because most people are not listening to the coach. The coach that drafted us, the coach that created us and brought us onto the team in the first place. And you and I, we got the playbook. You say, well, I don't really know much about it. Then you need to get into it. I really know your Bible. You say, well, I don't know my Bible well enough. That's okay. You know, you can drag him to church. I know my Bible. I'll talk to that man. The sisters in this church that know their Bible, drag that lady in here. Somebody's going to get with them. That's what I used to do as a young Christian. You know, people will be asking me all kinds of questions. I say, you know what? I just became a Christian. Okay? But let me tell you something. I know some people who really do know what they're talking about. Come with me. And I would drag them to Ross McKenzie. He's now an elder in North River. And I would sit there and just watch. And Ross would start studying Bible with him. And I would sit there as a young Christian going, man, I can't wait for the day I can do what he's doing. How do you know where all these verses are? I said, just calm down. you'll get it. I remember the first time I heard the word quiet time, and I'm like, what is that? I mean, they're talking about people not having their quiet time and this and this and this, and I'm sitting there all calling, all convicted, and I'm like, oh, I'm such a wretch, I don't have quiet times, you know? And then come find out, oh, that's prayer and Bible study. I do that. Oh, that's what you call quiet time? Why do we have to make this thing complicated? Just say prayer and Bible study. And for 20 minutes, I was feeling awful about myself. I said, man, I'm not having quiet times. Because I thought it was something that Christians were doing that I wasn't doing. But you see, I'm still standing 27 years later. Now, praise God, I know a whole lot more than I did back in 86. But see, so it doesn't matter how young you are. Some of us, we've been around for a long time. We got to spread that message. If we're married, we need to call each other higher in here. Say, honey, babe, whatever it is you guys call yourself. Man, we haven't studied the Bible with another couple in a long time. We need to flat repent. We need to invite someone into this house. We need to start praying for people to become Christians through us. Amen? It's not rocket science. When was the last time you studied the Bible with somebody? Again, I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. Seriously. Do something about it. You can start a Bible study with somebody this week. Use the Super Bowl as your springboard. Did you see that game? Yes, there's your opening. Let me talk to you about God's game plan. Preach the sermon. I don't care. Are you with me? Whatever it is that's happening, just open your mouth. You didn't watch the game? No, I didn't. Okay. What were you doing? There's your opening. I didn't watch the game either. As a matter of fact, let's talk. Are you with me? Whatever it is that's going on. What did you think of that actor that just killed himself? Start there. But get people into the word. It is the word that changes hearts. It's not your opinions. It's not your talking. Now, we need to befriend people. We need to, you know, invite them over. We need to go over ourselves. But it's not our words. But it's the word of God that changes people. It's the words of our coach. Amen? Because brothers and sisters, there's going to be a victory parade one day. Oops. We're going to win. They just had their victory parade in Seattle. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. Over 700,000 came out. Packed the stadium. Packed the streets. I can't wait for us to celebrate our own Super Bowl victory in this city. Now, these guys playing the way they are, we're in trouble, man. I'm serious. The Falcons are a very good team. We have one of the best offenses in the league. But the problem is we don't play any defense. That's why we get beat every time. Yeah, we can score. But if you can't stop anybody from scoring against you, you're not going anywhere. That's our problem. But do you realize what that day is going to be like when we finally win one? I don't know about you. I'm going downtown. And I'm going to be screaming. Because I want to be able to say, you know what? I was there with my own two eyes. It wasn't something I saw on television. I will be there. You say, well, Richard, I can't take time off. Well, that's one of the things about the good perks about being a preacher. I'm going to be on the sideline sharing my faith, talking to people about God. He said, I'm on the job, baby. But I can't wait for us to have our own victory parade. But the truth is, one day, we're going to have an incredible eternal parade. It's going to blow your mind. All this earth, all the challenges that you and I went through on this earth would be worth it. I dare say you won't even remember it. But we've got to listen to the coach. Because victory is ours. We have victory over death. It doesn't get any better than that. You and I will never die. Yes, you will die physically from this earth, but we're going to live on forever. The Bible says he's not the God of the dead, he's God of the living. That's why he's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those guys are still living as we speak, although in a different realm. Are you with me? God has a game plan. You and I have been drafted. We need to avoid penalties. And we need to listen to the coach. When we do that, God does incredible things in our lives. Amen. God bless you all.